Hello. I don't know if you've ever been part of one of those big outdoor crowds that gathers to see someone famous, someone in the public eye. I go most years to the Formula One Grand Prix Festival week. And if you go on a Thursday into the big arena, you'll see all the drivers come out to sign autographs and be interviewed. There's always a huge crowd, lots of security guards, and people pressing to get close to their favourite driver. When Jesus reached the Lake of Gennesaret, or the Sea of Galilee as it's often known, he was fast becoming the local favourite. Everyone wanted to see Jesus, to hear his teaching. Jesus stood by the lake and we're told the people were crowding round him and listening to the word of God. Jesus had no security team, of course, and he was being pushed back towards the lake by the big crowd as he stood on the shore. So he gets into one of the boats at the water's edge, a boat owned by Simon Peter. And he asked Simon to put the boat out a little from the shore. And from the safety of the boat, Jesus teaches the people. Jesus had met Simon before, and if you've been following the series in Luke's Gospel, you may remember that Jesus had been to Simon's house for an evening meal and even healed Simon's mother-in-law while he was there. So offering his boat to Jesus was the least Simon could do. But on this particular day, he'd find himself offering to do so much more for Jesus. It was the day that would change the course of his whole life. And there are three elements of that day in this scene in particular that I'd like to highlight: a command, a response, and a call. So firstly, a command. Jesus spoke to the crowd from the boat, and we read in verse 4 that when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Now, if you were in Simon's shoes, you'd be more than a little surprised by a command like that. Simon is the professional fisherman after all. It's his job, his livelihood. As far as Simon knew, Jesus had no particular fishing experience. He was a carpenter by trade. For most of us, if we have a tradie come to our home, we're careful not to interfere and give technical advice to a very experienced and capable electrician or gas fitter with years in the trade, especially if our knowledge is limited. In Simon's case, his immediate reaction is to say to Jesus, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything." He's respectful. He calls Jesus Master, but he makes it clear that he and his team have fished all night, the right time for serious fishing on the lake, and they've caught nothing. Now, you'd think that would be the end of it. Yet it's Simon who adds, "But because you say so, I will let down my nets." Jesus may not be a professional fisherman, but Simon's instinct is to listen to Jesus' command. He's already seen him in action. Jesus has taught the people with real authority, and Simon has heard him. Jesus has healed Simon's mother-in-law and also a whole bunch of other sick people who came to the door of Simon's house that same evening. Simon witnessed all of it. So what's he got to lose by obeying Jesus' command, except perhaps a little professional pride? So Simon takes his boat out into the deep water of the lake, and with his team of fishermen, almost certainly including his brother Andrew, he lets down the nets. Let's remember, it's the middle of the day, the sun beating down on the water. It's no time to be fishing for a big catch. But a big catch is exactly what they get. So big, in fact, that the nets begin to break and they need help. We read, they signal to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. Simon chose to trust the command of Jesus, and he was proved so right to do so. The outcome was staggering. It's a great reminder to all of us who are wanting to obey Jesus' commands and to live his way, that his words and his promises really can be trusted. If you're finding it difficult to trust God in some area of your life at the moment, maybe health, finances, relationships, employment, whatever it may be, let's remember how Peter's trust in Jesus' command was so faithfully and wonderfully rewarded. When we trust in him, we might not end up with a stack of fish for the freezer, but we'll be met by the faithful response of the same loving and faithful God. So first, we have a command. And now secondly, a response. If you know Simon Peter from other parts of the New Testament, you'll know that he has a tendency to overdo things. When Jesus walks on the water, Simon tries it too. When Jesus appears with Moses and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration, Simon suddenly and bizarrely offers to build shelters for the three of them. So after this extraordinary and lucrative catch of fish, we're half expecting Simon to dive into the lake all excited and exuberant. But that's not what happens. Far from it. Simon's response to the huge catch of fish is described in verse 8. When Simon saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." Simon doesn't thank Jesus for the bumper catch. Instead, he tells him to go away, to leave. And we ask ourselves, why would he do that? Why isn't he grateful, appreciative? Well, I think the reason is that as a seasoned, professional fisherman, Simon knew very well that this was no ordinary catch of fish, not on that scale and not at that time of day. This was a miracle, and Simon knew it. He'd seen those other healing miracles by Jesus, but somehow this one was different. This one made him realize that Jesus was so much more than a carpenter who did a bit of preaching. In Simon's eyes, it was becoming very clear that Jesus was a very special man of God, holy, powerful, with an authority even over nature itself. The more Simon spent time with Jesus, hearing his teaching, seeing the miracles, the more he knew he was in the presence of someone whose friendship and company he didn't feel worthy of. Simon's instincts were, of course, completely right, and his humility and sincerity are impressive. He voiced what others were perhaps beginning to sense as well, but Simon says it first. We read, Simon and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Everyone was in amazement. But Simon Peter, falling at Jesus' knees, was close to worship. It's no longer Master, but Lord, as Simon's title for Jesus. He didn't mean Lord quite in the sense we now use it. But in that culture, it was the greatest honor Simon could pay to Jesus. Until that day, of course, when he would finally declare, "You are the Christ." But that was many months down the track. For now, on the lake, after Simon has said what he has, telling Jesus to go away, we're simply waiting for Jesus to ask to be taken ashore so he can leave. But Jesus doesn't do that. And you know why? It's because he liked what he heard. You see, Simon Peter is just the kind of person Jesus can work with. Humble, repentant, and obedient. Simon's not a man who thinks more of himself than he should. No, he's honest about his failings and basically says to Jesus, "You don't want to mix with people like me." But in Jesus' book, that's absolutely the right attitude. As Levi, Zacchaeus, the thief on the cross, and many others would discover to their great surprise. You see, God's way up is down. Spiritual pride is a dangerous thing. Jesus would constantly warn the religious leaders about it. We need to watch it for ourselves. Some people can make the most breathtaking statements of their own worthiness before God. I think my favorite is Michael Bloomberg, the billionaire and former New York mayor who had recent ambitions to be the US president. Bloomberg's always been very generous to various charities, giving away millions of dollars. He once said about his generous giving, and I quote, "I am telling you, if there is a God, when I get to heaven, I'm not stopping to be interviewed. I'm heading straight in. I have earned my place in heaven. It's not even close." That's pretty startling stuff, isn't it? How different was Simon Peter in his attitude? Simon's response was basically saying to Jesus, "I don't deserve you to be near me." What about us? Are we humble, repentant, and obedient before our Lord, as Simon was in this scene? Those are the qualities that Jesus looks for. And for that reason, Jesus wasn't going to leave Simon Peter. Quite the reverse. He was going to ask Simon to join him. And so thirdly, a call. Verse 10, "Then Jesus said to Simon, 'Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll fish for people.'" Simon had no need to be afraid. In Jesus' eyes, Simon's humility was to be commended. On top of which, Jesus had a new job for him. It was still fishing, but this time it was fishing for people, bringing other men and women into the kingdom of God. That day by the lake Jesus was putting together his team, and Simon was draft pick number one. It was a good call because in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, in response to the biggest gospel address Simon Peter ever gave in his life, 3,000 people gave their lives to Christ. It was a big catch. Simon was very much still fishing. Simon wasn't the only one to join Jesus' new team that day by the lake. His brother Andrew and their partners in the fishing business, James and John, joined up as well. They pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed Jesus. From now on, their lives had a new priority, a new aim, to follow Jesus wherever he led them, and they embarked on a life-changing 3 years of intensive training. Now, this doesn't mean that everyone who wants to follow Jesus needs to quit their job, up sticks, and serve in a whole new way. But for those four, it meant just that, and it was the right thing to do. It was their calling. For others, like Legion and Luke chapter 8, the calling was to stay where they were and witness in their own local community because there were plenty of fish around. Whatever our calling in serving Jesus today, he still demands to be our priority, just as he was for Simon and those first disciples. It's also worth asking ourselves the question, is God calling me to anything new? Am I open to a change in order to serve him in a new way? This could mean staying where we are, but giving way to God's nudging to us to serve in a ministry, large or small, that we feel called to and ready for. And in the context of fishing, I guess we're especially thinking about new opportunities to reach out with the gospel to those around us. Why not ask God to show you how you could do that more effectively in your own situation, even in the midst of the pandemic? For some, thinking about new ways to serve and to follow Jesus could, of course, lead to quite a big change in your lives, but one that you and those around you sense is very much of God. If that sounds a bit daunting, just remember Jesus' words to Simon Peter, "Don't be afraid." And as Paul would later write, "The one who calls you is faithful." Whatever our own specific personal calling from God may be, we're all called to serve the Lord Jesus faithfully and to tell others of his great love for them. And there's nothing more fulfilling than that. In closing, I heard an interview on ABC Radio earlier this year with the well-known astronomer Professor Brian Cox. Professor Cox has a real gift for communicating his enthusiasm for the study of the stars and planets. But in this particular program, he asked a question that I was rather sad to hear him ask, and which revealed his own perspective on life. He asked the interviewer, "How do you live a meaningful life in a totally meaningless universe?" Well, of course, we know as Christians that this is not a meaningless universe. Far from it. It's a life and a universe full of purpose and design. It's been lovingly created with careful thought and precision by the God revealed in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. And as Simon Peter so wonderfully discovered, if we want to live a meaningful life in this meaningful universe, there's no better way to have one than to follow the Lord Jesus and to go fishing for him. Every blessing on you in this week ahead, and happy fishing.